This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in Season 3, Episode 14, I chat with Australian and Queensland 800-metre runner Peyton Craig. Just over a week ago in Vienna, Peyton recorded the third fastest ever Australian male 800-metre time, breaking the under-20 Australian record in the process and dipping under the Olympic qualifying standard. Subsequently, we discuss this race, but also Peyton as a person and his running background, finishing with his training week. I hope you enjoy. Welcome, Peyton, to the Local Legends in Running podcast.
Thanks, mate. Happy to be here.
Awesome, mate. Is this your first ever podcast for such a young guy? You're 19 this year, aren't you?
Yes, it would be, actually. Yeah, it would be the first ever podcast. So I look forward to it.
Well, I mate, likewise, feel very honoured having you on here because, we're in the midst of the Olympics at the moment, and we're just talking off air about the selection of the 800 metres happening. As soon as even tomorrow, we sit here on a Tuesday, it's 1 o'clock, and you're right in contention there. I think it'd be a pertinent spot to start the conversation here today to bring up that an amazing run the other week in Vienna, a 144 low, wasn't it? 144.12, third fastest all time, quickest ever under 20 Australian time. And as we've alluded to now, an Olympic qualifier. So yeah, how do you feel, mate?
Oh, mate. Yeah, I'm pretty bloody stoked. I mean, it's been a pretty cool experience over the last month or so. I've been away, just got back home recently. So started my journey in Fiji, obviously Oceania champs, and then headed over to Europe with the On guys, and, you know, raced twice while I was over there. Had a race in France, which, you know, was a 148 high, but, you know, I was competitive in the field. So took a lot away from that, you know, very first European race and learned a lot of lessons even in just that one race. So, yeah, and then obviously the target was always going to be in Vienna. Obviously just had everything set up to try and run fast, and thankfully I was able to. And, you know, I was just so stoked and really, really satisfied to finally get that standard after trying to chip away at it for a long time. So, yeah, I was stoked.
Yeah, well, before we get to chatting anything about the race itself, Peyton, like, the year for you has been amazing. We just spoke off air again about you taking the year off pretty much from any study, any work, I believe. No casual work on the side at the moment. Is that right?
No casual and, work on the side at the moment.
Yeah, fully plunging yourself into athletics and primarily the 800. I've seen there two runs you've done other than the 800, but I've got here on the page 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 800-meter races you've done in, yeah. It's not a year. It's 6 months pretty much you've done all those in. That's a remarkable number. And let's just give some idea to the listeners too about how you fared here. because consistency is awesome. You're within about 5 seconds here. I don't know, 5 seconds probably arguably is a fair bit of time at 800, but 145, I'll round these down to help you out here, mate. 145, 45, 45, 45, 52, 47, 45, 52, 46, 45, 44. So obviously the graph there's ebbing and flowing, but there's a general trend getting a little bit quicker, and all the placings were podiums too. So you must be happy, you know, at least to be heading into Vienna itself.
Yeah, mate. It was, it's been a great year. Obviously probably the biggest takeaway is I've just had fun, you know, it's been heaps of fun racing. So, it's my favorite thing to do. Much rather race than train. I know obviously you have to train to race, but yeah, no, it's been, you know, the two laps has been really exciting for me this year. I thought Australia did a great job with their domestic season, you know, track classics and that. They were all really, really good events and some pretty high quality racing for us guys, which I think it's probably taken another level this year. And I'd say the men's 800, like just the quality of competition at those races. So, yeah, I guess being consistent's obviously a good thing to have as an athlete. And I'd say I've been fairly consistent so far this year and hopefully can continue that downward trajectory and see if I can get even faster. So,
wouldn't the 143 something look amazing?
Yeah, mate. I mean, obviously, I'd be lying if I said that wasn't the goal. So I think I've got it in me. So
it has to be.
Yeah. So yeah, see what happens.
That's fantastic, Peyton. And Fiji, two races there, then France, then Vienna, wasn't it? That's the location of that, that 144. Yep. So and you're a young guy to be traveling around to these areas early in your life too, just that experience too, but particularly around that last race in Vienna. What was the sort of experience race wise, but also travel wise for you too, Peyton?
Yeah, well, it was it's a pretty big step up, I guess. Like, you know, being away, you know, I still live at home, so like, you know, I'm away from my parents and stuff for over a month, and really had to, you know, grow up in a sense. So it was really cool. I mean, I really enjoyed the experience. I was obviously really lucky. Like, I travel with a lot of my team, like the on athletes. Always, you know, traveling with people is always a whole lot better than traveling by yourself. So I think I really enjoyed that experience, you know, just jumping on flights like three different countries in 3 days, that type of stuff. Like and obviously it teaches a lot of lessons, because obviously it's a part of the sport, and just learning how to manage that. And lucky I had, you know, good people in place to help me, you know, do all the right things with that travel to make sure, you know, I'm optimizing my performance and can compete at my very best. And just doing my best to manage it, really, because it is part of the sport. So yeah.
And the race itself, so you actually won it. I'm not sure if I mentioned that just earlier. You won the race. In terms of how you wanted to race that particular race, and in general, how did it sort of play out for you?
Yeah, so I think because that was going to be my last crack at the standard, like regardless, before the deadline, like there was, I don't think I was going to go do another race had I not run it. So talking to my coaches and stuff like that, like my mentality going into it was literally, you could say no regrets, you know, walk off the track with no regrets, you know, kind of know that night when I go to bed, know that I left everything out there and I couldn't have done anything else. So that was kind of the mindset I had for that race. And I'd say I left everything out there. So that was very satisfying. And the race itself, like tactical wise, obviously I knew there was going to be a pacemaker. We originally had planned the pacemaker to go through in about 51 flat, which I think he did. But I went through a little bit slower so than what I was originally planning to. So I knew I had to get after it in that second lap. But from a tactical point of view, it's probably I really want to nail the 4600, which had been probably a weakness of mine, I'd say, so throughout this year, like that 4600, that third 200. So, but I think that was my fastest 200 of the race, maybe just behind my first 200. So I really, really got after it in that third 200, and just a matter of holding on from there, I guess, and really fighting all the way to the line. So thankfully I was able to do it. So yeah, I was beyond stoked.
Yeah, great. And Peyton, do you have that data, like to the 100 or 200 meter distance? Like, would you know how fast you'd run each of those?
Yeah,
what was your fastest split then?
I think so. My lap splits were 51.8, 52.3, was the splits. And then I think I was 25 low first 200, 26 mid second 200, 25 mid third 200, and 26 low last 200. So yeah, like, you know, I was, to me, that's some pretty good splits to, you know, and it was almost, you know, not quite a negative split, but it was fairly close to an even split, 51.8, 52.3. So I was obviously, don't get caught up too much in the splits because I race what's in front of me, but it's always good to have that data and look back on. And yeah, like I was impressed with how I ran. So yeah, it was cool.
Great, mate. And just a question for the listeners more so in terms of the splits in an 800. Most of my guests on here generally are sort of 5K runners and above.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a positive split a normal thing for an 800-meter runner to run slower in the second half of the race?
Yeah, yeah. Positive splits always usually the way an 800-meter would go. Leading into Vienna, actually, though, my PB was 145.4, but that was actually a negative split, which in an 800 just you don't see. So I think I took a lot of confidence out of that and kind of knew I had 144 in me, seeing as though my PB was a negative split. So yeah, you would usually, I don't know, I'd say I'm probably one of the athletes that would run close to a even split race rather than others. Like some people will go out, you know, 50 point and then a 54 second lap, where I like to, you know, be a little bit slower but really work that second lap. So
yeah, and I've seen that before, seeing the kick, and we'll talk about your speed that you definitely have out there and how you train for it. And like I just mentioned about the distance runners and middle distance, when I talk about that word in this podcast, usually it's 1500 meter guys. 3K is not obviously an Olympic event, but as low as 1500, and how that works into training. But before we get to training stuff, let's just hear a bit more about Peyton off the track, so to speak, and then let's get into your background, because you've been killing it in school, mate. I've been following your journey online, watching streams and stuff as a coach myself in the GPS system, which is in Brisbane. You're a Sunny Coast guy, I believe. But in general, mate, how do you feel time? What do you watch for sport, for example? All that kind of stuff from the track.
Yeah, no worries. So I'm a Sunny Coast boy now. I actually grew up in a small like country town in central Queensland called Gladstone. I don't know if you know the place. So I lived there for the first, I think, until I was 12. You know, all my family's from there. Mum and dad were both born there. You know, their parents were born there. So born and raised there, and, you know, moved down to the Sunny Coast when we were 12 or 13. Just, I guess, a better sporting opportunities. Mum and dad made the decision. It's probably open opportunities a bit more down here on the Sunshine Coast. So we moved down, and then obviously been there ever since. Absolutely loved it. I loved every sport growing up, you know. Grew up playing rugby league for, you know, first 13, 14 years of my life, which I still love to this day. That's obviously probably the main sport I watch outside out of like athletics and stuff like that. Grew up playing rugby league, grew up surf life saving, you know, playing cricket in the backyard, dad, all type of stuff. And I think that's probably where I got my competitive instinct from, just all the sports I played as a kid, and always hated losing, would always chuck a tantrum if I lost, which I've probably managed a bit more now. Like I'm not always going to chuck a tantrum if I don't win a race, but yeah, I think that competitive instinct and the type of person I am probably come from just all the sport I did as a kid. So yeah, obviously living in the Sunshine Coast now, I played touch footy all through high school. You know, the school I went to was quite competitive in touch football, so that was something that you know, running's a very individual sport, it's also a team sport at the same time, but I also just really enjoyed having that, I don't know, almost release and get away from my individual sport and playing with my mates and touch footy and stuff all throughout high school. So yeah, I think it's, you know, I think in general I just love sport, and you know, I follow the NBA, stuff like that. So yeah, it's lots of fun, and now still on the Sunny Coast, and couldn't ask for a better place to live. You know, beach right at the front door, and still get out in the ocean and surf and stuff like that. So yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, and with the Sunny Coast, which part of the coast are you actually based?
So I'm actually near the university, which Sippy Downs is the suburb's called. So it's right near the track. So very convenient for me. It's about
great.
I don't know, 5 to 10 minute drive to the beach. So.
Oh, yeah, how good, nice. Mate. How good. Very lucky man. And with the rugby league, what position and then the touch did you play in? What kind of a player were you back then?
Oh, mate, I mean, loved playing junior league and stuff like that. Would always play. Always had to have my hands on the footy. So I played in the halves or fullback or something like that. And then Same with touch footy. I played in the middle. So, I think my touch coach used me a little bit for my aerobic engine, throwing me in the middle, kind of kept me on longer than some of the other boys. But yeah, no, it was heaps of fun and I really enjoy it. And something that's, I probably wish I could still play now, but it's probably quite,
yeah,
not
isn't,
quite
it, isn't it hard, worth, especially for
not,
someone?
Not worth the risk in an Olympic
No
year.
way.
So, but yeah, no, it's, it was heaps of fun. My school and stuff like that, we did quite well at like state, like all schools competitions and stuff like that. Senior year, we, runners up, we lost in the grand final for state champs. So that was tough, but also a very cool experience. So yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun.
Great, mate. Can I just touch on like your speed in touch football? Was that something that you're kind of, were you similar to other players or were you someone that stood out to be a faster sprinter, that is?
I probably wouldn't say I was the fastest person on the field. I'd definitely probably say I was the fittest person on the field. But yeah, I wouldn't say I had standout speed because I'm probably not that quick off the mark, which, a lot of my mates and some good touch footy players, they're really quick over, 5, 10, 15 metres. But top speed, probably if, it was a full field intercept or something, I could usually run most of them down because once I get up to speed, I'd say I've got a set of wheels. But yeah, over the mark, it's probably a little bit slower. So yeah, I'd say I was fairly standard. Wouldn't say I was a standout with my speed. So yeah.
Okay, let's get to the running, Peyton. So let's look at sort of that early high school time. When I spoke about sort of following your running journey earlier, so sort of from year 10 onwards, yep. 10, 11, 12, where year 10 is probably the year where a lot of boys or girls start to progress and understand where they're heading with their running. So yep. How was sort of year 7, 8 in terms of athletics and running, and then what did it look like in terms of your running times and direction towards
yes.
the back end of high school?
Yeah, so I think, 7, 8, 9, even 10, probably almost all of high school. I was more purely focused on triathlon. I don't know. I was actually a triathlete. So running was kind of just something I'd supplement in to, help my run leg in my triathlon, the track racing and the cross country and stuff like that. And I mean, it's really been, you could almost say opposite progression over time. Like I started, 5K running, like started racing like 5Ks, cross countries and stuff like that when I was younger. And as I've gotten older, I've actually shortened up, which I mean, you'd usually say it goes the other way. So yeah, I think 7, 8, 9, all I'd really do running wise is cross country. I wouldn't even really jump on the track. Like I'd, school nationals and stuff like that, but I was never really a standout or anything like that. I'd always do quite well in cross country, I'd say. And then it was probably around that year 10, like you've mentioned, where I started to, have some better results on the track. Probably the breakout one for me was just the UQ 1500 meter classic, just that local Queensland race. I think it was 2020, which was, when I was year 10. I think I won the secondary boys like main race, which was a pretty big deal when you were a bit younger. So I think I ran 3:57, which was like a, 6 second PB that year. And then I think a couple of weeks later, I ran, I want to say like 3:48. So it's kind of like I was kind of improved really quickly that year. And that was probably the year my, I don't know, you could say kick kind of come along really like in strides, it was kind of something that I was becoming known for in a sense. And then, I've just been on the track ever since. And it's my favorite thing. I just love the racing and love the excitement of track racing. I think it's like, nothing else you do. So yeah, I think just slowly gotten quicker over, 11, 12. I went to World Juniors in 2022 that was in Colombia for the 15. I qualified for the 3K as well that year. And that was a pretty cool experience. And I think, so I went to Junior Worlds for triathlon that year as well in 2022. And I think that was the year, people starting to say, oh, like, what are you going to do? You're probably going to have to pick one of the two if you're going to want to really excel in one of them. And that year was probably just, say make or break. And I got to experience both world champs. And ultimately, I think I preferred the athletics world champs. And that was the reasoning behind having more focus on athletics rather than triathlon. And, I'm glad I made the decision. Haven't looked back since. So yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah, just on the triathlon. So obviously the swimming and cycling are throw in a different, you know, two different disciplines that you need to be good at. Yep. And how'd you boat in the water and on the bike?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up, like, my first taste of competitive sport was actually swimming. When I was 10 years old, I went to national swimming champs for 100-meter breaststroke, believe it or not. Actually won nationals when I was 10. So I grew up in the water. So I always was a fairly decent swimmer, I guess, for triathlon. So the swimming was never too much of an issue. It was more probably developing the cycling and stuff like that, because, you know, cycling only comes over time, you know, time in the saddle, a lot of volume and stuff to get good on the bike. So that was probably the biggest thing for me, was developing the ride. But yeah, it's something that's still very prevalent in my program, swimming, yeah, cycling. Yeah. Thought you might have asked this question, but I mean, I'll get to it. But yeah, it's still, like, I'm a big believer in cross training. I'm not saying everyone has to, but I think it's a really, really good way to, you know, limit the load and stuff that's going through your legs. And I'd say it reduces a bit of injury risk and stuff like that too. So I still swim and ride a couple times a week even now. So I think it's good, just a bit of aerobic conditioning, just mixing things up, you know, keeping it fresh. So yeah.
That's great, mate. Yeah, we will talk about training week in detail very shortly. But before we get there, just on the triathlon too, like the reason you actually chose athletics over triathlon, was it more an enjoyment or an achievement? Like you found you were sort of going better with your running and went that way?
Yeah, well, no, I'd actually say I had a better result in triathlon that year from the world champs. Finished eighth at Junior Worlds for triathlon. And then, I mean, I really didn't have a very good result at World Under 20s. So I think the fact that I still enjoyed that experience more was kind of a bit of a highlight to me, you know, and helped me make the decision. So very much more an enjoyment standpoint, and also the training. I preferred the training for athletics rather than triathlon, you know. I'm not saying I don't like training, but for triathlon, you have to train a lot, like lots and lots of hours.
A lot of time, really, isn't it? Good. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of just, you know, time in the saddle, time in the water, you know, it can be pretty repetitive, and I just much rather the training I could do for athletics and the racing for athletics. So yeah.
Great. Let's talk about coaching then. So in terms of, like, through school and at school and also out of school, there's been a number of groups grow here in Brisbane itself. You may have heard of Brisbane Athletics. You've got a few mates, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
From that group, and that's an example of just one group in Brisbane amongst many that are thriving. What's the scene up there like outside of school, and what did you do also within school for training, Peyton?
Yeah, so I met my coach at school in year 7, was PE teacher, Brendan Mallion, and he's been my coach ever since. So we kind of just clicked straight away, and it's been really, really good. Obviously, our squad's developed over the years. You know, I was kind of not the first athlete, but we kind of have slowly started to grow it. A lot of the years throughout school, I was almost training by myself. It was a lot of one-on-one stuff with me and him, which, you know, people will say it's not good, but I think it builds a lot of character being able to train on your own. So, yes, I do rather run with a squad, but I'm also able to train solo. Like, it's not an issue for me. So, but yeah, that's the situation all through high school. You know, it's been, what, 8 years now, 7, 8 years with Brendan, and obviously now it's a pretty exciting opportunity with On now working with Craig as well, Craig Mottram, you know.
We need to talk about that, don't we? When did that happen with On? I just completely forgot about that signing. That was only recent, wasn't it, this year?
Yeah, so I signed with On in, I think it was April. Yeah. So with the OAC Oceania group. It's great what I got going on down there. I'm super, super happy to be a part of it. So it's pretty awesome. Really, really, really stoked to be obviously a part of the team. And, you know, On's just, I don't know, such an up-and-coming brand that I think is doing really, really good things in the sport. So I'm really happy to be a part of the team, part of the journey with the brand. So, and then obviously having access to people like Craig is pretty incredible. You know, probably arguably, if probably is our best distance runner of all time, I'd say. So, it's pretty awesome. Yeah,
yeah, he's got that 5K record, doesn't he? Still, what is it? 12:56-ish, 7?
Yeah,
maybe
55, 56.
I got that wrong. Yeah, either way, he's got it. But what a man to have in front of you leading the way. Did you know much about him before signing with the group? Was there a bit of research needing to be done, mate? I've got 15 years on you, Peyton. Like, Craig Mottram was my hero. growing up as a runner. But what about someone as young as yourself, to put that in perspective for the listeners? Like, what did you know of him, and what research did you put into him and the group before signing up?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, like, I'd heard Craig's name, but, you know, I didn't see any of his runs when I was growing up, because, you know, he was running as I was born, kind of. You know, I was born in 2005, and I think he, you know, obviously had that, I think, second place in 2006 Commonwealth Games. So
correct, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've seen it. Have you seen it on YouTube? That. It's an amazing.
Definitely seen it now.
You want to pump up for an event, mate. You've got to watch that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's awesome. I've definitely watched that race a couple of times. So, I didn't, like, obviously, a lot of people said, oh, shit, like, that's Craig Mottram. Like, you know, that's, you know, he's such a good runner. But, you know, Craig obviously reached out to me, and I got to know Craig pretty well before signing. You know, we'd probably had been in contact for almost a year and a half, almost 2 years before I actually put pen to paper. So I feel like I knew Craig and some of the guys in the group really well before actually signing, which is obviously a, you know, key factor in making that decision. So, yeah.
No, it's good, mate. Again, congratulations. That's a massive move forward for you. And
thank you.
I think now it'd be pretty cool to have some insight into your training week, Peyton, because as I mentioned earlier, as an 800-meter runner, and I'm a coach myself, I've coached kids and adults alike in the distance events, but how far is your long run? How much mileage are you doing per week? And really that speed work to ensure that you can start quick, stay quick, and finish quick, ultimately.
Well, I mean, it's been, I'd say our program this year has been very, very fluid. You know, it's been training, changing a lot on the fly. Obviously, it's been managing that switch between, you know, even just last year I was still training as a triathlete, coming straight into 800. It's always a lot different to what I was used to. Remember at the start of the season, you know, I was kind of not freaking out, but it was kind of just like I'm not, like, I felt like I wasn't training enough, like I felt like I wasn't doing enough, because like total weekly volume probably almost halved, like just in like hours trained, because there was, you know, periods there last year when I was training for triathlete when I was, you know, months on months training almost 24 hours a week, you know, which is, it's a fair bit of training. So weekly volume, a lot of people think I'm pretty silly when I say this. I won't run any further than 65 to 70 K a week. You know, I think, you know, I could get grilled for saying this, but, like, you know, it's what works for me. So I'm going to keep it that way. Weekly, you know, I still, like, I mean, I say I only run 70K a week, but I still ride and swim, which I guess replaces probably the easy running. I'll only jog easy twice throughout the week. One is a long run and one is just a recovery run. Long run, don't go any further than 16K, is the longest I'll go, which is a whole lot different to, you know, what a lot of other people would say. But, yeah, I don't think see the need to go much further than 16, being a two-lap specialist, I guess. Throughout the season, early in the season, it's kind of stayed all the way through. Big believer in hill training. There's something that, you know, we probably, like, me and Brendan probably learnt throughout the year. We did hills probably from, you know, November all the way up to January this year. And I come out and run 145, and then, you know, the track classic start, more racing starting. So we're like, okay, we'll go back to the track, start sharpening up, you know, get the speed going. And throughout that period, I actually kind of, I don't know, not plateaued, but just didn't feel like I had the extra gear like I did when I was doing hills. So it was something post nationals that we actually implemented before. I think I had a good 4 to 5 weeks post nationals before I headed over to Europe and Oceania's, and that's something we put back in. And I think it's been pivotal for me. I've had 5 good weeks of some hill reps in there once a week, and I think I've come out and ran pretty well. So that's obviously in there. I do a fair bit of threshold work. We did some testing post nationals, like I had my VO2 and stuff like that. I did one in December at the AIS, and then I did another one at the VIS post nationals, and my aerobic threshold actually had dropped off a little bit throughout the season. Just like, I mean, it's kind of to be expected, because you consistently, you know, as race season, you start tapering and stuff like that. So you're not going to have as much work done throughout the year as what you would in like a pre-season kind of thing. So, but that was something for the 4 to 5 weeks post-nationals before Europe, we ramped back up, you know, some threshold works on Tuesday, you know, not being silly with the pace, but, you know, shorter rest, that type of thing. So anywhere between like kind of rotate through, it's either 16 fours, 12 fives or 10 sixes is probably the session I'll do on a Tuesday, and just rotate through that and, you know, adjust, play with the rest where we can. And speed wise, I do a Monday afternoon speed session, which is pure speed, you know, like a couple 60s builds, a couple 30s flat out. Because I think my mentality and Brendan's mentality is, you know, how do you expect to run a 25 second 200 feeling easy if you don't actually have the speed to run a 25 second 200? So, I feel like if you want to be able to easy, like roll through a 25 second 200 easy, I feel like you've got to be able to run almost 22 second 200 flat out, you know? So that's obviously a, yeah, hence the pure speed session, you know, a couple 60s, couple 30s, and then get out to some, you know, 150s at speed and then a couple twos. Really, really hooking, I guess, on the track. And from a session standpoint, that's kind of it. I think I do 4 sessions throughout the week, and I do a Saturday morning, like a, I don't know, tempo thresholdy type stuff. That'll be mile reps, K reps, I know, some fartlek work, just whatever we feel like we need to top up, I guess, the aerobic base in a sense. So, yeah, that's probably all the training I do, mate. And obviously, like I said, I have swimming and riding in there, which is just purely aerobic, easy work. You know, some hour spins on the bike, just a set wattage, and then 3K swim, you know, just rolling through, just more conditioning than anything. And then obviously I have two gym sessions a week as well, S&C, which I work with at the University of Sunny Coast, the high performance S&C coach there. So it's been really good. I'm really kind of happy with how the week's looking at the moment, and I feel like we're kind of covering everything that's needed. And I think for me, is the main thing is just staying healthy to be able to do the work. All of 2023 was really, as you know, had a bit of bone stress and stuff like that. So that was the biggest thing, you know, getting the things, not only the training right, but the stuff outside training. It's probably more important than the actual training to my performance, to be honest. You know, sleep, diet, it's pretty simple, but just working with the right people to work out what's best for me, you know, nutritionists, like working with my dietitians and stuff like that. It all plays a factor, and I think consistency really is key. You know, you hear it a lot, but being able to consistently train and put weeks on weeks together is the underlying factor to performance. So, yeah.
Right, mate. So, yeah, tomorrow you're finding out about the Olympics, and it's going to be a stark difference if you're not in that team versus if you're in it. The future moving forward, if you are picked and not picked, how does that look for you, Peyton?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm thinking I'll find out tomorrow. not 100% sure. But, you know, if I do happen to get picked, obviously, I'll obviously compete in Paris. So we'll head off, obviously, to Montpellier, which is the pre-departure camp for all the athletics people. I'll have one race, just tune up before the Olympics, which I don't know, we've kind of already looked at a little bit, like where that's going to be. One kind of tune-up race, and then hopefully just do the best of where I can in Paris and see what happens. And then post Olympics is World Juniors. I've got World Juniors still, which will be really exciting. You know, I've probably really, really keen for that race, because I'd say I have a pretty good chance to do something pretty special. Could probably have a pretty good result there. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then I think I'll have a bit of time off, mate, to be honest, after all that's done, because it's been a pretty big year.
Yeah.
We've planned a bit of family holidays and stuff like that, post Junior Worlds, and going to do a little bit of traveling and then come home and reset for a bit, and then get into it next year, you know, World Champs in Tokyo, stuff like that. You know, I'd be lying if I said I don't want to keep running at this level. So that's obviously the plan. A couple of domestic season races, Europe races, and yeah, world champs next year would be the goal. And then fingers crossed something goes on with 2026 Com Games, I guess. So that's
yeah, good mate, good. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for your time today. Obviously, me included, mate, and the listeners are following your journey very closely now after that 144 low. And good luck for whatever happens in the next few days. And again, yeah, thanks for giving me time and the listeners to hear about your journey and story, Payden. Thank you.
No worries, man. It's been a pleasure. It's been a great chat. So yeah, thank you.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legend in Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you.